Us. Am I on now? All right. So Gwen has left the building. Okay, well, Tate, this is going to be for you, okay? And this, so, whatever. A young woman just received her engagement ring. Okay. You're not the woman. I'm just saying. You have to understand what I'm saying here. And the next day, she was having lunch with some of her close friends. And they were all talking and having fun And while all this conversation activity was going on, the woman that got engaged, nobody noticed her engagement ring. And she was just waiting for that opportunity. Why don't people, nothing would happen. And so suddenly she blurted out of both her joy and her frustration and said to all her friends who were there, she jumped up and said, "It's just so hot in here, I think I'm going to take off my ring." All right. I got a better, than I thought it would be. I think it was in the presentation that made it happen. Well, we're going to be talking about some of, John calls it signs, Jesus signs. And so we're going into John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. And here, we have a healing that took place. And in this healing, though, it's interesting that Jesus healed this boy without his father or the crowd seeing the sign or wonder. And that's kind of interesting because sometimes that's probably another sermon topic. But I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to first talk about, my first thought is the plea. From John 4, 46 and 47. Once more, he, Jesus, visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Jesus found himself back in Cana, the place where he turned the water into wine. And there a royal official sought Jesus out. Now this official had it all. He had power, he had money, he had prestige, everything. But all of that meant nothing to him. It was meaningless except for what was going on with his son at that particular time. And sometimes we just need to keep these things in perspective. All of the material possessions we have, all of these things are, I'm not saying, we have them, you work hard for them, that's good up to a certain point, but it never replaces what Jesus Christ gives us. And this man was aware not only that his son was dying, but who did he go to? And it had nothing to do with money, any of that. He put things in perspective. And I know that's a little bit of a stretch when you interpret that, but when you stop and think about it, he didn't talk about what he had. He was concerned about his son and what was going on there. Verse 47 says, he went to him, and listen, he begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. The man came to Jesus in an anxious state and made his plea. His son was dying, and he begged him. He begged Jesus to heal him. Verses 48 and 9, Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told them. Isn't that interesting? Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. The official said, sir, now listen to this. He said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus seemed to brush off this official, didn't he? Perhaps he was expecting Jesus to do signs and wonders. However, there was more at stake here than just healing a dying boy. Could it be that Jesus was looking beyond a physical healing? Could it be that Jesus was looking at a spiritual transformation for this man and his family? Could it be? Verse 49. The official said, sir, come down before my child dies. He was desperate. And his son was dying some 20 miles away. It appeared that maybe he had reservations that Jesus could heal him from a distance when he said, come down, sir, come down before my child dies. It's interesting that he used the word sir here. If you do a study on that, and especially back in those days, it was a term that showed respect. He was showing Jesus respect. He was showing Jesus honor. And at the same time, he was being humble. So he came before Jesus and really basically knelt before him. He humbled himself before his Lord at that particular time. I found that to be very significant. But Jesus stayed in Cana. He didn't leave, and said in verse 50, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. I love that. The man just took Jesus at his word and said, okay, he's going to live. I'm going to go home. I'm going to see this. I'm going to experience this. So the man headed home in his plea. His faith reminded him that he didn't need to see a sign or wonder. He didn't even need to question. He didn't even have to just press Jesus for further proof, because he believed in four words, your son will live. That's it. Four words, your son will live. Okay, I'm going home. God, Jesus, just heal my son. There's power in the word. Amen? There's power in the word. And sometimes I think we need to be reminded of this truth. Your son will live. No, okay. I'm not going to question that. I'm going. And I'm trusting and believing that what this man said with his words will come true. Your son will live. Amen and amen. Okay, number two, power in the word, verses 51 and 52. Remember, Becca, number three is coming up. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1:00 p.m, the fever left him. The official's confirmation came when his servants met him on the road to share the great news. Your son lives. What matters here, I believe, isn't simply the hour the miracle took place, but when Jesus said the word, and his son was healed right then and there. His son was healed. Let's stay here for a moment. Sometimes we pray, I think I've said this many years ago, and we all kind of go through periods of our faith where this is going on, that's going on, God's teaching us here, teaching us there, we make a few mistakes, we correct them, and so on and so forth. And when this woman kept coming to me and said, has God given you a miracle today? Has God given you a miracle today? Every day I heard that from this woman. And I must admit, I was getting ticked off. I said, here she comes again. I know what she's going to say. You know, she wanted something spectacular to happen. And finally, I think that one day, this must have been a Holy Spirit moment tempered with love. I said to her, yes. Every day I realize that Jesus Christ died on that cross for me. That's my miracle. That's all I need. That's all I need to know. Got to take care of the rest. And he does. But sometimes, you know, some people want to validate the faith or whatever. They want the miracle. They want the big, they want Jesus to hit the big home run in their lives. Is there anything wrong with that? No, I'm not saying that. But sometimes people, Christians, just live for that moment. Well, guess what? Sometimes those moments like that don't come. Don't. I say don't. I don't know if that's proper English or not. But anyway, I want to share a little personally. Now, listen, what I'm sharing with you is not to build anybody up, but only to build Christ up. So when you share, when you witness, if you're trying to build yourself up, then you got the wrong motives. It's always about bringing Jesus the glory in all that we do. My wife, one day, Jan could sit straight in the chair, and her posture was as straight as a board. But about two neck surgeries took care of that. She's had at least 14 major surgeries in the past probably 20 years. Now, we're not feeling sorry for her. I'm not feeling sorry for her. But my point is this. She prayed for those miracles. She prayed for those miracles, and there isn't one person on this planet could tell me, well, she wasn't healed from all these things because she didn't have enough faith. That's what I call garbage theology. And I've seen her go through every one of these trials. I asked her just the other day, I said, Jan, what would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 where your faith is? Where your pain is. And she said a 3. Which isn't bad, but isn't good. That's like a minor toothache or whatever. You know it's always there, and you can't get rid of it. Because she can't take a lot of medication. So for her, it's one thing after another, and it's happened constantly with her. But here's my point with all of this. Though she has not been healed by it would come up forward, and I prayed over her, other people prayed over her about this and that, and it's never happened. But that has never taken away from her faith in her God. Her favorite verse when it comes to her afflictions is 2 Corinthians 12:9. My faith is what? Sufficient for you. My power is what? What is it? My faith? Thank you. All right. My power is made perfect in weakness. Thank you. Okay. See the point? See, that's it. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that sometimes, you know, you're not going to get the home run. Sometimes you're not going to get that miracle that you want, that you're searching for. But that's okay. If that is what you're hanging your faith on, then you better step back and take a look at your faith and what Christ, what he really stands for. This man, Jesus healed. Why, he could heal him because he had the power to heal him. But look underneath that. Jesus had compassion for him. He had compassion for this little boy. Jesus is all about love. He's all about love. At the end of the day, that's what it is. When we were younger in our faith, we were so obnoxious, we stunk up the place. Because we thought everybody, we were right and everybody else was wrong. Because the Holy Spirit had a hold of us. And yes, I can, for our defense, we were right most of the time. But we miss the point. What good is it for us? We realize that if we have what God has given us, and yet we're not showing it in love. What would Jesus say about that? You're missing the most important point. To love. Even love those that don't agree with you. To love those that you think don't understand. It's about love. That's it. Because you were saved and I was saved by love, period. It wasn't how smart we are, how good we are. It's because God is faithful and he is just and he is righteousness and his grace is always sufficient for all of us. That should keep us humble. That's what keeps me humble. One day, years ago, I was before I was even a pastor, I was doing a confirmation class as a lay person. And I heard one of the pastors say, "You take things too seriously." Yeah. Bill Lawser, I'm talking about. She knows. And that I stopped and paused. And I had to take a look at myself in the mirror. I thought, how am I coming across to other people? Do other people see Jesus in me? You know, and I think that moment, that changed me, that helped me, because it hurt, but it helped, because I needed somebody to call me out. And I got called out. Now we're all so serious, nobody's saying a word. Did I say something wrong? No, see, I mean, that's the point. It's all always about God's love. When we come to see Jesus face to face, what are we going to say to him? Church, what are you going to say to your Lord? What does he want to say to him? The first thing I want to say to Jesus, I love you. Thank you so much that you love me so much. You died on that cross for me. Thank you so much that you were, for all those years, you were at the Father's throne and you were fighting for me. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember when I did that? Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember when you did that thing, that stupid thing there, the dumb thing you said over there. I remember when you said harsh words that weren't appropriate. I remember those. But I love you. I forgive you. I'm yours. That's what we're about. That's what church is about. It's about love. It's about fighting through things in love, in love, in love, and loving each other. Supporting each other. Even when you want to kick the person. You know, wake up. It still talks about loving each other. I'm going to be leaving you. And here's the legacy that I want. If I don't get this, I'm going to be ticked off. No, I'm at myself. I want you to say, yeah, the guy was old. You know, and he didn't do this right or that right. But he always encouraged us. And he always loved us. That's what I want. I don't want bells and whistles. I want the basic fundamentals. That's what I want. Because Jesus first loved me. And he first loved you. Remember that, church. I'm older. Not necessarily wiser. You can probably put a question mark by that. Just by experience, but living in the Lord. With my experience, I found that to be the mainstay for me has always been that. That's always kept me humble. I got for a while involved in the academic world and thought that was where it's to be. And God showed me that's not. It's important, but that's not. It's not even close to the top of where he wants us to be. Amen? God loves us all. All right, now, I don't know. Becca, where am I? I was on 2, right? Okay. I got off. I went down a rabbit trail, and I can't find where I'm supposed to be. Okay. Spiritual rebirth, number 3. We're there. Okay. verses 53 and 54. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming to Judea, to Jerusalem, to Galilee. I want us to consider something here. Out of one boy's physical healing, a whole household was reborn spiritually. And we often think, maybe not you guys are so advanced theologically, but we often think, we being in general terms, that it's seeing before believing. Real believing is seen through the eyes of faith in my world. Did not Paul say in Hebrews? Now, that's another rabbit trail. Some people question, was Paul really the author of Hebrews? But generally speaking, most scholars believe that he was the author of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews. Remember chapter 11 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That's it. That officer, that royal official, came to Jesus first, right? And then his household came. Why did they come? Because first he asked, and he came to Jesus. He asked Jesus. He asked for help, didn't he? He asked for help. So that's step number one. Step number two, then he believed. He believed that Jesus would heal him. So he asked and he believed. And then he acted. That's the key. Then he acted and took Jesus Christ at his word. Isn't it so easy when you kind of put it step by step? You know, we believe, we come to Jesus, we pray, and then we bring our petition. We lay that out because we know, we're confident that Jesus is going to hear that. He might not answer that prayer. He might not answer that prayer exactly the way we want, but we know he will respond in some fashion. And then what do? Then we step out in faith and we put it into action. We say, "Your word says it, that's good enough for me." Amen? So that really gets all of us off the hook. It gets me off the hook because I know it's not me. You know, I know it's not me. And so I'm thinking that I have to be, that we need to be confident. I want to wind this down because Jesus is always working. He's working here. He's working in Elburn. He's working in Batavia. He's working in Sugar Grove. He's working in Yorkville. He's working in Salmonok. He's working in Geneva. He's working in St. Charles. He's working even in Chicago. He's working all over. All over. That should give us confidence. It should give us assurance as we live our lives each and every day. Each and every day. By remembering that if God says it, that settles it. That's it. That's it for me. That should be it for you as well. So when we walk through this life and we're going through our landmines each and every day and we get discouraged or whatever, or we're waiting for God to answer a prayer, remember, he's got your back. Remember, he loves you. Remember what he says about if you turn to him, if you come to him, all your scriptures that you have memorized or that you know, pull it up. Pull up those. That's one wonderful thing about memorizing scripture or being knowledgeable of the word of God. You have the resources. You can pull them up. Can't you? You can pull them up and you can apply them to your lives. Those are great reminders. It helps you to move, take one step, then a next step, then another, as you're in the Word. The Word is power. There's power in the Word. Don't forget that. And don't, my brothers and sisters, I'm sure that's not you, I'm sure, but don't just ride on somebody else's coattails. Don't do that. You know, get into the Word yourself. You know, just get in there and kick it around. Then anyone to talk to brother or sister, say, you know what, I'm scratching my head on this particular passage or whatever. That's fine. But do your own homework. Then watch how you will grow in your faith. Amen? Amen. What do you think, John? I noticed you were asleep back there, but that's okay. See, I had my glasses on. John, God is so good. He really is. Don't you just love your Lord? You know, how can we not? As we look in the mirror, I looked in the mirror one day, Jan, I did Rabbit Trail. We got time for this. Last year, I married my granddaughter, Leah. In June, almost a year. Time flies, doesn't it? Here's what I get, Mike. And this is why I had to put on my Christian faith. Yeah, you know what's coming. Yeah. And it came from my wife, my bride, of 58 years almost. You know, thick or thin, right? She said, boy, you look so old. Just like that. There wasn't any love in that, it's just a critical, you look old. I said to Jan, first of all, with tears running down my cheek, I said, well, that's because I am. Then we laughed. I think when you love the Lord, doesn't laughter come? We can kid each other, you know. I can say, hey, you know, that hurts a little bit, but I understand. At least I do today. Anyway, God is good. If anything, just remember that. Don't forget to laugh at yourself. Don't forget to laugh at yourself. But remember, God, Jesus loves you so much. I love you guys. And I'll miss the laugh. Maria always laughs, you know, at something. So she's a good one to have in the audience because at least makes you feel good that somebody's listening or whatever. I'll miss all of you. I'll miss your smiles. I'll miss your faith. I'll miss how you've helped me to grow in so many different ways. And I'll miss, I feel that I'm leaving at a moment in my life. This is my dream moment for me as a pastor. I've been doing this for 40 years, 40 years plus actually. But I feel like nothing is perfect. There's not a perfect church. There's always flaws, always something to do. But I feel that I'm leaving strong in ministry because of you. So that's what I have when I leave. That's the legacy that you've given me. And I thank you for that gift. You're wonderful. Keep up your faith. Keep it going. You know, be strong. Keep playing, keep singing, you know, because it's a wonderful thing. And one day, my friends, you will be where I'm at. And then just see how you're going to feel. No, you're going to be where I'm at. And I hope that you can say in your life, boy, I've really accomplished the things that I really wanted to accomplish for the Lord. Other things to do, of course. But at this point, I really feel good in what and how God has used me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. You're wonderful. And I pray now for brother, sister, Lord in Christ, that just maybe they're struggling a little bit with what's going on in their lives. Maybe they're just frustration, whatever it might be, Lord. Oh, Jesus, let them know. Let them know that you're always there for them, that they're never alone. Even in their pain, their frustration, whatever it is, they are never alone. That you're faithful, you're always there. You always will be there for them. I pray for that, Lord. And anybody's down here right now, you'll just pick them up. Lift them up, Lord Jesus. Fill them with your spirit of wonder, of joy, of contentment, of fulfillment. And give them the assurance of your love. Help them to remember, Lord, that if Jesus says it, that settles it. For really, that's what this official did. And so can we. In Jesus' name.
Do you stand with us for one last song?